Everybody ready to go? Am I on, Steve? Okay. All right. Morning. My name is Pat Ward. I'm the administrative law judge pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as the substantive hearing officer for this hearing. This is the hearing on the application of Magellan Pipeline Company, LP, for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit to authorize relocation of 2,300 feet of existing 16-inch to 18-inch petroleum pipeline in city limits of West Fargo in Cass County, North Dakota, which is identified and known as the Fargo Relocation Project. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-12-042. The record will show that it is about 5 after 10 a.m., April 12, 2012, we're in the West Fargo Commission Room, West Fargo, North Dakota. The time, date, and place set by the notice of filing and notice of hearing issued by Administrative Law Judge Alan Holberg and the North Dakota Public Service Commission on February 29, 2012, in case number PU-12-042. On February 8, 2012, Magellan filed an application for a waiver of procedures and for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit to authorize relocation of pipelines in West Fargo, Cass County, North Dakota, identified and known as the Fargo Relocation Project, all as I have previously recited and as is set forth in a notice of filing and notice of hearing and shown by the map, which is part of the notice, and which has all been duly noticed and published in accordance with the requirements of statute and the commission's rules. The notice of filing and notice of hearing for this hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined upon this hearing. The issues to be considered in Magellan's application for waiver of procedures and time schedules. One, are the proposed facilities of such length, design, location, or purpose that they will produce minimal adverse effects and that adherence to applicable procedures and time schedules may be waived? Two, is it appropriate for the commission to waive any procedures and time schedules as requested in the application? The issues to be considered in Magellan's applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit. One, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Two, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? Three, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Ms. Smith, please state your appearance for the record.
I'm Molly Smith with Frederickson and Byron, and I'm here on behalf of Magellan Pipeline Company, LP.
Thank you. Mr. Grumman, please state your appearance for the record and any other commission staff that will participate in the hearing.
Mark Grumman on behalf of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. To my left is Chris Morrell. He is also a member of the North Dakota Public Service Commission staff. At this time, it seems opportune to ask for a motion to allow for Mr. Merle to participate in these proceedings pursuant to, like, for instance, asking cross-examination questions.
Ms. Smith, do you have any objection?
No objection.
Okay, permission granted.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Is there anyone else present other than witnesses for Magellan or the commission who will or may testify or comment concerning this matter? Okay, right now I don't see anybody. If there is, we will do that upon completion of Mr. Grumman's presentation. I encourage you, if there's anyone out there, to take the opportunity to tell me and anything you think that we should know about this matter, that the commission should know, and offer any information you may have for the commission's decision. I assure you that what you have to say is important to the commission and will be considered by the commission. If you have any questions about your presentation, or if you have any documents, maps, photos, and the like that you want to show to the commission and wish to have made a part of the record of the hearing, you should talk to me, please, during a recess, and I will answer any questions you may have concerning your presentation and help you get any documents you would like to present marked and made a part of the record. I cannot, of course, answer any questions or otherwise advise you concerning the merits of Magellan's application. Ms. Smith, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to let everyone know that we'll have two witnesses to start with. The first will be Corey Davis from Magellan. Corey will provide an overview of the project. He'll discuss the alternatives that were considered and why there's no reasonable alternative except for the proposed route. He'll also talk about the project design, construction, operations, and maintenance. The second witness will be Bill McCarthy, and he will discuss the environmental studies that were performed and the analyses conducted with respect to the proposed project route. At this time, I would call Corey Davis as our first witness. Corey, you can go down here.
Yeah, the witness.
Yeah.
Mr. Davis, I am required by law to advise you of the law regarding perjury in this state. Perjury is a false statement under oath of a material fact made by a person who knows or does not believe the statement to be true at the time it is made. Perjury is a Class C felony. A Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of the penalty for perjury, please raise your right hand so I can administer the oath. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Thank you.
Could you please state your full name for the judge and the commission staff?
Yes, Corey Ryan Davis.
And you're employed by Magellan Midstream Partners LP, is that correct?
Correct.
And what's your business address?
1 Williams Center, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74172.
And what's your position with Magellan?
The pipeline integrity engineer.
And can you explain for us the relationship between Magellan Midstream Partners LP and Magellan Pipeline Company LP?
Sure. Magellan Pipeline Company LP is a wholly owned subsidiary of Magellan Midstream Partners LP.
And Magellan Pipeline Company LP owns and operates the pipelines that are the subject of today's hearing, is that right?
Correct.
And so Magellan Pipeline Company LP is also the entity seeking the certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit, is that right?
Yes.
Could you just briefly discuss your education and your work history?
Sure. I graduated from Auburn University with a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. After college, I took a job with Georgia Pacific in Muskogee, Oklahoma for approximately 1 year. After my stint with Georgia Pacific, I took a job with Magellan Midstream Partners in the Asset Integrity Program. I've been employed with Magellan for the last 4.5 years. I've been the engineer over various pipeline integrity and facility projects.
And what's your role with respect to the proposed project?
I will be the project manager.
And could you discuss Magellan's general experience in the refined petroleum products industry?
Yes. Magellan owns and operates approximately 9,600 miles of pipeline throughout the Midwest United States. We also own approximately 50 storage terminals throughout the United States.
And if you'll look at what's been previously marked as Exhibit 1 in the binder next to you, it's actually the other binder.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Is that the Certificate of Corridor Compatibility and Route Permit application that was filed by Magellan?
Yes, it is.
I would offer Exhibit 1.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, Exhibit 1 will be admitted.
And then now if you will look in the other binder at what's been marked as Exhibit 2, and it's under the second tab in the binder. Can you identify that document for us?
Yes, it is the proposed route that Magellan has proposed for relocation in Fargo.
And is that an accurate depiction of the proposed route in Exhibit 2?
Yes, it is.
I would offer Exhibit 2.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
And referring to Exhibit 2, could you provide us with a general description of the proposed project? And maybe it would be easiest to start with a explanation of where the existing pipelines are located.
Sure. If you notice on Exhibit 2 up here, we've got the existing pipelines are two co-located pipelines, 1 6-inch, 1 8-inch. There are the yellow lines on Exhibit 2 here. The red portion is DOT's work area. And then we have our relocation will be approximately 2,300 feet of 6-inch and 2,300 feet of 8-inch, beginning at point A, moving west to point B, moving west over 17th Street to point C, then moving north to point D, then moving west to point E, and then moving north to point F where we'll tie into our existing lines.
And then there's a facility in the northwest corner of Exhibit 2. Is that a Magellan facility?
Yes, it is.
And that's where these pipelines are running to, is that right?
Correct.
And so essentially the relocation is to get around the DOT project, starting in the southeast corner of Exhibit 2 and getting to your destination, which is in the northwest corner of Exhibit 2.
Correct.
And once you relocate the pipe, what's the plan for the existing pipe?
We will reclaim as much as possible, not to interfere with any business in the area. So as of now, we're going to reclaim from point A here in the southwest portion of Exhibit 2 to the edge of this business parking lot. We'll also reclaim starting here at the edge of this business building, north, just slightly south of Main Avenue here. The rest of the pipe will be capped and grouted.
And when you say reclaim, it means you plan to remove the pipeline from the ground?
Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned that there's a North Dakota Department of Transportation relocation project that's is requiring this relocation. Can you just briefly describe that DOT project that's being proposed?
Yes. Basically, if you look on Exhibit 2 here, the red portion shows the DOT area of work. They're going to relocate 17th Street to the east. They're also going to widen Main Avenue. They're going to take Star Avenue here and conjoin that with 17th Street to the east. They also will lengthen Frontage Road east to conjoin with the new 17th Street.
Okay, and currently your pipelines would be right under the work area for that project for
Yes.
17th Street. Okay. And what factors did Magellan take into consideration when selecting the route for the project?
We wanted to coordinate with NDDOT and avoid their construction area. We wanted to meet and adhere to all Magellan general encroachment requirements. We wanted to minimize any potential impacts to Magellan's lines during and post-construction. We wanted to make sure that future maintenance was not an issue. I mean, we want to minimize impacted businesses and landowners in the area.
And you mentioned Magellan's general encroachment requirements. Can you explain what the basis is for those requirements? Are those just internal, or are they reviewed federally?
No. They are a set of requirements that we write up, and they are audited by PHMSA.
And PHMSA is the Federal Pipeline Safety Administration.
Yes, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration.
Okay. And then if you'll look at what's been marked as Exhibit 3, and that's under Tab 3 in the binder, can you tell us what that exhibit is?
Yes, it is a set of alternative routes that we reviewed that were not part of our proposed routes.
Okay, and so there's four sheets. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 different options that were reviewed. Is that correct?
Correct.
I would offer Exhibit 3.
Any objection, Mr. Groom?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 3 and Exhibit 2 will be received. I think I didn't say that audibly, so.
And if you can refer to Exhibit 3, let's start with the first map that's marked Option 1. Can you just first describe for us the proposed route that was considered?
Sure. If you've been in the southwest corner here at point A, we would tie back into our existing lines here. We'll move north to point B. From point B to point C, we'll traverse under Main Avenue. And from point C to point D, we'll head west. At point D, we'll tie into our existing lines.
And why was Option 1 rejected?
For a few reasons. The route was not preferred by North Dakota Department of Transportation. Both lines would be interfering with the DOT's construction area just west of Point D. This did not meet our general encroachment requirements. The frontage road paralleling Main Avenue will have to be shut down during construction. Future maintenance would be nearly impossible, and we would impact businesses in the area.
And you mentioned Magellan's general encroachment requirements. What requirements would be impacted, or did it not comply with?
Well, if you notice from point C to point D, we'd be running under and parallel to Main Avenue. Well, we have to paraphrase one of our general encroachment requirements, we do not want to run our pipelines within a right-of-way of a street or a road. There's also at Point B, you'll see a church just east of Point B, and north of Point C, along to Point D, you'll notice businesses and business parking lots, and to paraphrase those two general encroachments that would be not adhering to, we do not want any personal property and fixtures, which would be automobiles within our easement tract, and no buildings within our easement tract.
So essentially, you don't want your easement to have any buildings or road right-of-way within the same easement, is that
correct?
Right?
And there would also be a bend at Point C, and we do not want any paved roads over our pipeline bends.
Okay. Now let's move on to option two, which is the second map in Exhibit 3. Can you first describe that route for us that was considered?
Sure. Beginning at Point A, just west of this building, we would move north to Point B. From Point B to Point C, we move at a diagonal to Point C under Main Avenue, and then we'll tie into our existing lines at Point C.
And why was option two rejected?
For some similar reasons as the previous option. The route was not preferred by DOT. Our power lines would be under the construction area. Heavy construction compaction machinery would be going over our pipelines after they're relocated. Future maintenance would be nearly impossible and did not meet Magellan's encroachment requirements.
And in this particular option that you looked at, 17th Street, the relocated portion of 17th Street would be directly over the relocated portion of your lines, is that right?
Correct.
And as far as the encroachment requirements, what was not satisfied with this option?
Well, if you notice from Point B to Point C, we traverse Main Avenue at a slightly less than 45 degree angle. To paraphrase our general encroachment requirement, we would like to cross all streets at a 90 degree angle.
Okay. So let's look at option three in Exhibit 3. And that's also in the binder. Can you describe that option for us?
Yeah, no problem. Starting at the southwest corner here at option three, we start at Point A, tie into our existing lines, move west to Point B. From Point B to Point C, we traverse 17th Street. From Point C to Point D, we'd head north. And then from Point D to Point E, we would tie into our existing lines at Point E.
And why did Magellan find this as a not workable route?
Well, it was not preferred by the DOT. Pipelines would be under construction taking place. During construction, heavy compaction machinery would be going over our lines. Future maintenance would be difficult or impossible, and it did not meet Magellan's encroachment requirements.
And are there also utilities already located in a portion of that right-of-way?
Yes, there are. There's lots of utilities through here, and also paralleling south along Main Avenue.
And when you say through here, are you talking essentially the area between that road that's marked frontage road and Point D and then along the south side of Main Avenue?
Is correct. That,
okay. So because there's already utilities there, the preference is not to add utilities to that area?
Yes. We were actually, DOT didn't want us to put any more utilities in that area.
Okay. And you also have a crossing under Main Avenue that's not at a 90-degree angle. Is that the encroachment problem?
Correct.
Okay. And then let's look at option four in Exhibit 3. And can you describe this option for us?
Sure. Option four took a similar approach as option three. We started at Point A, moved to Point B to the west, moved across 17th Street to Point C, moved north to Point D, paralleling 17th Street, and then from Point D to Point E, paralleled south, just south of Main Avenue, and then from Point E, we moved north to Point F, and at Point F, we would tie into existing lines.
And what was the reasons not to use this particular route?
So a lot of the similar reasons as the option four. It was not preferred by the DOT. The corridor throughout Point E to back to Point D is filled with utilities. DOT did not want any new utilities through there. Our pipelines would be under construction taking place. Heavy compaction machinery would be going over our pipelines. and future maintenance would be difficult, and our general encroachment requirements would not be met.
And in this case, is that the road would be in the road, or the, I'm sorry, your pipeline easement would be in the road right-of-way, and that would be the encroachment requirement not satisfied?
Right. We do not want our pipeline within the road right-of-way in a parallel fashion.
Okay. And if we look back at Exhibit 2, which is the original or the proposed route, can you just explain why Exhibit 2, the route depicted in Exhibit 2, is the proposed route, why it is preferred over the other routes?
Yes, it was the route the DOT preferred that we take. It meets all of Magellan's encroachment requirements. We would have minimal impact during the roadway construction. Future maintenance would be not an issue. There would be minimal impact to businesses and landowners.
And based on your review of the alternatives that's presented, is there any reasonable alternative besides the proposed route?
No, not at this time.
And let's talk a bit about the engineering and operational design of the project. What will the right-of-way permanent and temporary be for this project?
We'll have a 50-foot permanent right-of-way throughout from point A all the way to point F. During the construction time, we'll have a 75-foot right-of-way during construction. We'll have a couple of special construction right-of-ways for the drill. So the drill will be from point E to point F to traverse Main Avenue. And then from point D to point E, we'll have a special right-of-way there that will cut down to 50 feet, not to disturb any of the trees south along the fence line here, just south of the frontage road.
Okay, so even though it kind of looks on Exhibit 2 like the construction right-of-way goes over those trees, the intent is to not take any more trees out than is necessary.
That's right.
Okay. And what is the pipe diameter and wall thickness that will be used?
There will be two different pipes. We have nominal 6-inch diameter pipe with a 0.280 wall thickness. Then we'll have a nominal 8-inch pipeline with a 0.322 inch wall thickness.
And in the application, I believe Magellan mentioned that the pipe might need to be thicker or might be thicker under road right-of-ways. Is that still the case?
No. I performed a stress analysis and determined that the pipe thickness, wall thickness that we're going to install will be sufficient underneath the roadways.
And that will meet all state and federal requirements, is that right?
Yes, we have to.
Okay. And as far as the operating parameters of the pipe, can you discuss the operating pressure and the flow rate?
Yes, the maximum operating pressure for the 6-inch line is 1062 PSI, and the maximum flow rate for gasoline usage will be 450,000 gallons per day. The 8-inch line has a maximum operating pressure of 1186 PSI. And approximately 1.1 million gallons per day of gasoline service.
And so this is, as we know, a relocation as part of a larger existing line. This relocation project doesn't change any of the operating parameters for the existing line, does it?
No.
And that line's been in existence since when?
1946.
Okay. And other than pipeline markers at the road crossings, will there be any other associated above-ground facilities for this project?
No.
Okay. As far as the project schedule, what is Magellan anticipating?
Well, as soon as we get our permitting in place, we would like to begin as soon as possible. There is some preliminary work that needs to be accomplished before construction can begin. We would like to have the line back in service within 45 days of the beginning of construction.
And how does Magellan's schedule for construction impact the DOT's construction schedule for their roadway expansion?
Well, DOT would like us out of the way as soon as possible because they cannot begin construction over the portion that our pipeline is under until we move our pipelines. They've already began construction on Main Avenue around our pipelines.
Okay. So they're just kind of waiting for you to get out of the way, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And will the project be designed, constructed, and operated in accordance with all federal and state regulations?
Yes.
After the construction is complete and the project's in service, what steps will Magellan take to ensure the project's operating in accordance with those federal and state regulations?
Well, Magellan is required by federal and state laws to meet all requirements for pipeline operation. The pipeline will be monitored 24/7 by a SCADA system. Magellan also participates in the North Dakota One Call program. We maintain cathodic protection on our pipelines at all times. We maintain air patrols on our pipelines as well as on the ground observations. We have periodic inspections by PHMSA. Local personnel go through yearly OSHA training and HAZWOPER certification, and local personnel get on-the-job training for pipeline operation and operator qualifications that are mandated by the federal government.
Okay. And has Magellan taken or will it take any measures to ensure public awareness of this project and pipeline safety in general?
Sure. We do annual mail-outs to people that live around our pipelines. We hold local emergency planning committee meetings locally. We hold fire department meetings and facility tours. We hold North Dakota Department Authority meetings for area first responders, and we hold annual contractor dinner for area excavators.
And what steps will Magellan take in order to be prepared if there were an emergency situation to arise?
Well, we have PHMSA-approved emergency response plans in place. We have a code red process in place. We have spill teams in place. We have spill contractors that assist in the spill cleanup.
Okay. And if you'll look at what's been marked then as Exhibit 4 under Tab 4 in the exhibit binder, is that the certification that was provided to Magellan by the Public Service Commission?
Yes.
And has that been executed by someone at Magellan?
Yes.
And who is that person?
Larry J. David.
And does Mr. David have the authority to bind Magellan with respect to adhering to the certification?
Yes.
And based on the studies and analyses that Magellan's conducted and on the testimony that you've presented here today, what are some of the conclusions that Magellan has reached regarding the proposed project?
The route is necessary to accommodate the DOT's roadway expansion. It is the only reasonable route for moving our pipelines, and post corridor and route comply with the siting criteria set forth in the Siting Act and Commission siting rules.
I have no further questions.
Okay, are you going to move the exhibit 4?
Yeah, I just realized I had not done that. I do offer Exhibit 4.
Any objection, Mr. Grumman?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Exhibit 4 will be received. Mr. Grumman, any questions?
I do, Your Honor. Thank you. Mr. Davis, going to 3.2 of your route application, I'm just going to quote you a part of that. It says, this is associated with the Northeast Route Alternative. And I'll just quote here, finally, the establishment of an interconnect with the Fargo Terminal was not feasible from a northeasterly approach due to the existing piping and infrastructure at the facility. Could you please expand upon that comment?
Can I ask you to tell me what page you're on again?
Yep. Yeah. Page 11.
Page 11, and that's in the, is that in the corridor or in the route permit portion?
The route.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me, corridor.
Corridor, page 11.
Section 3, page 11?
So it's section 3.2 would be page 11 of the corridor app.
I think it's just a partial paragraph on page 11, is that right?
Okay. Yeah. It's associated with ground disturbance and with incremental increase into the overall project cost finally established. I believe what we're trying to say here is from, I believe it's when option one, when we were coming from the northeast over, I believe what we're saying that would be in conflict with our, with DOT's construction area.
Okay. Going through, I guess exhibit 3 and the 4 options, would it be safe to assume that a good portion of your route and corridor alternative was essentially mandated, or a large credence was given to the Department of Transportation's input. That being a correct statement.
Which one was exhibit three again?
I guess any of them. I guess a resounding, or a theme that kept coming up is that this is what the Department of Transportation wanted as far as the alternative route. Would it be safe to assume even a good portion of what your, the route that you ultimately, or your, what you're proposing, had to do with what the Department of Transportation wanted to do?
Yes.
Okay. If, let's say hypothetically that the DOT weren't involved, now the four options that you gave in tab three, would one of them been more preferable to Magellan? And if so, why or why not?
No, I mean, Magellan, we don't want to move our pipelines if we don't have to. So, I mean, this is all, we have to move it because of this road construction.
You were talking about how you don't want a turn, or essentially a right degree angle in your pipeline underneath pavement. If you could explain why that is from an engineering standpoint.
Do you mean a bend?
Yeah, a bend, then, yep.
I don't think I can give a good engineering answer to that.
Okay.
It would seem to me that any place where there's a bend in the pipeline, the likelihood of a failure is probably more possible.
Yes, I mean, because if you bend a pipeline, it's going to put more stress on a pipeline. So if you were to put more downward compression force on that pipeline there, it's obviously going to, it's going to have less of its design parameters. I can't explain this very well.
Well, it's going to make a weaker part of the pipe,
right,
than just the straight length of the pipe.
Right.
And
that's the way.
And so you wouldn't want it under a roadway because there's a greater likelihood that you might have to get in there and replace it or repair it sometime. Is that a fair statement?
I believe that's a fair assessment, yes.
Okay. I guess another theme that came up to play as far as the options in Exhibit 3 was, quote-unquote, maintenance would be impossible. If you could expand upon that somewhat, why is the preferred route better from a maintenance standpoint than the options that you indicated?
Well, if you looked at any of the routes, it was you would have to get an excavator in there to dig up the pipeline. If we go 4 feet, that would, you do a 2-to-1 slope, so you would have 16 feet wide trenches just to get down to our pipeline. Well, that would, anywhere, say if you're going back to option one where we're going underneath Furnace Road, we'd have to shut down that Furnace Road, get in there. There's no telling how long, I mean, that construction would take weeks to get that completed. Any other options, we'd be under the road at, on the second option where we'd be going diagonally across Man Avenue. The third option, we would still be in the area. I mean, you've got to have an area construction that would be safe for the workers. And if you were to go to the fourth option, which was traversing parallel to Main Avenue, you would also be close to Main Avenue, which you'd probably have to shut down a piece of that roadway, so it'd be safe for the workers.
Now, you're familiar with the mandate that unless there's no reasonable alternative, that any pipe or this type of facility, it's essentially, it's avoidance area within the residential area, is that correct?
Wait, could you say that again?
Are you familiar with the fact that there are a number of residential residences within this proposed route change, is that correct?
Yes.
And you're aware of that under North Dakota statute, that can be waived. I guess essentially my question is, were any waivers received by those residences, and if so, how many?
Actually, our next witness is going to touch on that. Is that all right?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. I have nothing further.
Can you redirect, Ms.?
I'm
sorry, Mr. Morrow. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Is it safe to say that Magellan has thicker pipe and more or less safer pipe in residential areas or urban areas than, say, rural areas?
Thicker or safer, or less safe, you said?
Safer.
We have safer. We perform stress analysis on all our pipe when it goes in the ground to determine the what we need for that area at the time.
Are there stricter requirements because it is an urban area?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Given all of the other alternatives that you've presented here, would a majority of these residences and businesses still be within 500 feet?
For the relocation, or you mean for the original route?
For this relocation and the alternatives, would a majority of these still be within the 500 foot?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I mean, if you were to go the northeasterly route along, you know, north and then head north along Main Avenue, the first option, I'm not sure if it would really touch upon the residences south. Some of the other ones would probably be pretty close to the 500 foot.
It seems to me that most of them would still be within 500 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Ms. Smith, any redirect?
No, Your Honor.
Right, I just have one thing I think I need to clear up. I think in the opening statement I said existing 6-inch and 18-inch, but it's an 8-inch pipe.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And is the wall thickness the same on the 6-inch as the 8-inch, or is it thicker?
It'll be different. It's a 0.280 on the 6-inch and a 0.322 on the 8-inch.
Okay, and why are there the two differences in the sizes of the pipes? Do they carry different products, or?
I believe, just, you mean why is there a 6-inch, why is there an 8-inch?
Yeah.
You may have to go back to why they first installed those pipes. You know, 1946, I'm sure, is all about capacity and flow rates, and I'm sure that's why.
Okay. And what's running through these pipes is refined petroleum products?
Yes, sir.
And where are they coming from, and you know where will they go after they get to the terminal?
Well, you have the 6-inch and the 8-inch. So the 6-inch will head to Fargo. From Fargo, we'll head to Grand Forks. That's where it will be terminated. The 8-inch will be terminated at Fargo. And where they come from, I mean, they come from Terminal South, but those terminals start down in Houston, or, you know, our pipeline extends forever.
Okay.
All right. Not forever, but
yeah,
essentially, you know,
a long way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I couldn't tell you what product came from Houston and what's in Fargo now, you know.
Okay. All right. And these existing pipes have been where they are since the 1940s. Is that right?
46. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else for this witness?
No, I don't think so.
Federal? Okay. Thank you.
And so, our next witness will be Bill McCarthy.
Mr. McCarthy, like I told Mr. Davis, I'm required by law to advise you of the law regarding perjury in North Dakota. Perjury is a false statement under oath of material fact made by a person who knows or does not believe the statement to be true at the time it is made. Perjury is a Class C felony. A Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of the penalty for perjury, please raise your right hand so I can administer the oath. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Thank you.
Could you please state your full name for the judge and the commission staff?
My name is William Francis McCarthy.
And who is your employer?
E3 Environmental.
And what's your business address?
My business address is 817 Vandalia Street, Suite 100, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55114.
And what's your position with E3 Environmental?
I'm an environmental compliance manager.
And could you just briefly discuss your education and your work history?
Yes, ma'am. I got my undergraduate degree from Michigan State University. I studied wildlife biology and fisheries biology. I went on to the University of Minnesota, studied wildlife biology and environmental toxicology. I spent about 15 years in the environmental consulting industry, servicing energy projects and clients, siting new capital projects, as well as providing compliance support for operating assets.
And what's your role with respect to this particular project?
I've been under contract with Magellan since 2010, working on various projects. They asked me to support this project from an environmental permitting perspective, and I helped compile the PSC application and all related environmental permits.
And from a project site perspective, can you just give us a general description of it from an environmental perspective, I should say?
Yes, ma'am. The project is sited in a well-developed urban setting, and from an environmental perspective, it's relatively benign and does not have environmental features of sensitivity.
And what approach was taken to environmental analysis of the project site?
Yes, ma'am. We worked with Magellan to establish what their preferred route and alternatives were. We established a 1/2 mile buffer on either side of their proposed routes. Once that buffer or study area was established or a corridor, we conducted desktop analysis of available public information such as National Wetlands Inventory. We also augmented our desktop studies with agency consultations to understand what their concerns were. And as the route was refined, we augmented our desktop and agency consultations with field studies.
Let's talk a bit about the compliance with the PSC's siting criteria. Are there any exclusion areas located within the project corridor or crossed by the route?
There were three cultural resources that were identified during our studies that were previously unrecorded. One was a site lead for the terminals, one was the pipeline itself, and one was Main Avenue. These were initially potentially eligible, but through our studies and consultation with the SHPO, it was determined that they were either non-eligible, not impacted, or portions of Main Avenue in particular was a non-contributing a segment of a potentially eligible feature that was not going to be impacted. Magellan was going to bore underneath it for further mitigation.
And as far as avoidance areas, are there any avoidance areas located within the project corridor or crossed by the route?
Yes, ma'am. As with the siting criteria, we established a 500-foot buffer around the preferred alignment and studied that for potential occupied buildings. And there are a number of occupied buildings within a 500-foot buffer.
And I believe it was in Appendix G to the application that you indicated that Magellan was in the process of obtaining waivers. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you have a supplement to that Appendix G?
Yes, ma'am.
And is that what is marked as Exhibit 5? It's separate. It's not actually in the binder. It's next to you. Is that the supplement to Appendix G?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
And could you just describe what's contained in Exhibit 5 for us?
Yes, ma'am. We have two overview maps. The first one on top depicts the existing alignment, which is illustrated as a black and white dashed line, and as well as the proposed alignment, which is illustrated as a red and black dashed line. We then establish the 500-foot buffer about the proposed line, and then through tax record analysis, we obtained parcel ID information and have highlighted those parcels that fall within the 500-foot buffer.
Okay. And we'll come back to discuss this a little bit more. What's the second map then is what in that packet?
The second map depicts solely the proposed pipeline. With the route as proposed and the 500-foot buffer in the same tract information.
And then what is the remainder of Exhibit 5?
The balance of the exhibit then are the waivers, signed waivers that Magellan has received for this project.
I would offer Exhibit 5.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 5 is received.
And then let's talk a bit about the approach that Magellan took to try to obtain waivers for this project.
Yes, ma'am. As you can understand by just glancing at the map, it was a significant effort in order to attempt to secure as many waivers as possible. We split the task up between Magellan personnel and E3 personnel. Magellan contacted a number of properties that would actually be crossed as part of their easement process, secured easements and or waivers wherever possible. And the balance of the landowner tracts were assigned to E3. Through county tax records, we got contact information and supplied them a notice letter with project information as well as the request for the waiver.
And then let's talk a little bit more about the first map that's in Exhibit 5. Can you describe, you've described most of it for us, but can you kind of walk us through those parcels that are crossed by the route and explain what's going on with the status of some of those parcels that are marked as pending?
Yes, ma'am. Just to orient folks to the map and the legend, any of the parcels that are in green, waivers have been received. There are a small number of parcels which we've labeled with a green striping that indicates that those waivers are pending, and when we say pending, that they're under negotiation, but things are progressing along with the easements. Easements have been attained for all properties crossed, although some property owners have deferred signing a waiver in addition to the easement.
And then if I remember right, actually, there are two parcels that they're still waiting for paperwork on. Is that right? But they have essentially agreed to the easement and waiver.
That is correct. The up on the frontage road, there's a property that abuts Frontage Road and 17th Street. And as you move west, the property that's adjacent to the north-south portion of the proposed pipeline. That is the same property owner for both of those parcels. The easement has not been signed, but the terms have been agreed to, and it's in progress.
Okay. And I think going back kind of to some of the questions that were being asked of the last witness, if we look at the existing pipeline that's marked in the white and dashed line on Exhibit 5, that existing pipeline is already located within 500 feet of some homes and businesses. Is that right?
That is correct.
And many of the options that were discussed would definitely place it within 500 feet of businesses. Is that right?
That is also correct.
And most of the time it would also be within 500 feet of at least some homes.
That's correct.
And so no alternative to get from essentially, if we say point A is in the southeast corner of Exhibit 5 and to the northwest corner, which is the Magellan facility, no option could be used that would not be within 500 feet of businesses or homes.
That is correct.
And so from what you've discussed so far, is it true to say that not only there's no reasonable alternative to what's been proposed for this project route, but also that Magellan has secured easements or waivers from everyone that is crossed by the route?
That is correct.
And Magellan has also secured waivers from a number of other businesses and homeowners that are near the route, is that right?
That is also correct.
Okay. Will there be any significant adverse effects resulting from the location, construction, and operation of the project as they relate to the selection criteria that are set forth in the Commission's rules?
No, ma'am.
Let's talk a little bit about the studies that you conducted and you mentioned earlier. Could you identify what studies were conducted? And I know the first one would be the Cultural Resource Survey, so let's start with that.
Yes, ma'am. As is standard for this type of project, we brought a professional archaeologist under contract. They conducted a class one inventory of the area designated as the corridor. Through their studies, there was 17 previously recorded sites and three newly discovered ones, which I had mentioned previously. Their analysis was that the project would have no adverse impacts to these cultural resources. A report was prepared on behalf of the project and submitted to the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, and the office concurred with that conclusion and recommendations.
All right. And talking a little bit about wetlands and water body inventory that was conducted, what were the results of that analysis?
Yes, ma'am. Based on the desktop analysis, there were three mapped wetland features. These are historic recordings of wetlands within the corridor, one of which was potentially at the north terminus of the project. Field studies failed to relocate that feature because of development had destroyed that feature, so there were no other wetland or water body features found within the proposed route.
And as far as the wildlife inventory, any potential impacts to wildlife?
No, ma'am. The urban setting precludes natural resources such as wildlife species that would be of concern.
And a tree, sapling, and shrub inventory was conducted, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And I understand that you have a correction that you want to make to the application and to the natural resource report with respect to the inventory. Is that also right?
I do, yes, that's correct.
And then in front of you are two errata sheets, and I have handed those out to everyone, so hopefully you have them. If we start then with the route permit application one, which I think is marked as pages 5 and 19 and has section 2 at the top, can you explain what the changes are?
Right. The original application, there was an error in the reporting of the inventory trees that these pages will correct. In section 2.2.1, we've simply added a sentence at the end of that section reporting the quantity of trees within the surveyed corridor. That total is 59, and that 12 will potentially be impacted by the construction.
Okay. And then on page 19, is it the same correction to the second paragraph?
That's correct.
Okay. And these can just, you can take out the old pages and replace them with these pages, is that right?
That's correct.
And then if we look at the natural resource report, which is pages 5 and 6, it's the same correction?
That is correct.
Okay. And as far as the mitigation measures that may be taken for any potential impacts, could you discuss first, I understand from a cultural resource perspective, there's nothing present, but is there anything that has been established in case something were discovered during construction?
Yes, ma'am. We prepared an unanticipated discovery plan for the project. Anytime you undertake a project with ground disturbance, it's good practice to have a plan like that in place. This plan was prepared by a professional archaeologist, submitted to the State Historic Preservation Office. They have reviewed it and concurred with it.
And then if you look at Exhibit 6, which is under tab 6 in the exhibit binder, is that the unanticipated discovery plan and SHPO concurrence letter you were referencing?
Yes, ma'am.
I would offer Exhibit 6.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, 6 will be received.
And then as far as trees and shrubs, what are the plan as far as mitigation for those?
Yes, ma'am. We will replace any trees taken during the project in a 2-to-1 ratio per commission requirements. These trees will be replaced to landowner specifications where we can accommodate that. And workspace throughout the project will be modified to the extent practicable to avoid any additional impacts to trees.
And my understanding is the landowner in this case is actually the city, is that correct?
The majority of the trees will be taken from city property, correct.
Okay, and so there'll be coordination efforts with the city on relocation.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any other mitigation measures that may be taken with respect to the project?
Normal best management practices with respect to erosion control measures to comply with state-issued stormwater permits following erosion control measures. Those will be all implemented. In particular, there is a stormwater retention basin near the east terminus of the project. Certainly silt fencing would be installed to protect and avoid any additional impacts from construction to that feature. It will essentially be avoided by the activity, but we'll put silt fencing up to avoid sedimentation from being deposited in there. But the balance of the project is fairly benign. There's no specific wetlands crossings, and so it's primarily erosion control measures.
And as far as correspondence, I understand there's some correspondence that has come in from agencies since the application is filed. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so if we look at what's been marked as Exhibit 7 under Tab 7 in the application, can you identify that for us?
I don't have it in front of me, but
I'll give you.
I have copies.
Okay.
We have our Fish and Wildlife Service response. We drafted a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service describing the proposed project and identifying those areas where it has jurisdictional oversight and how the project would have impacts to those resources or that we would mitigate to avoid those. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service concurred with our comments and conclusions in our consultation with them.
All right. I'd offer Exhibit 7.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 7 is received.
And then if we look at what's been marked as Exhibit 8, is this a letter from the North Dakota Department of Parks and Recreation?
Yes, ma'am.
And what were the comments from the Park and Recreation Department?
Parks and Rec, similar to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, has an interest in state-listed species and their critical habitats. We consulted with them on a project-specific basis about the proposed project location and activities. The Parks and Rec Service comment was that the project would have no impacts.
I would offer Exhibit 8.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 8's received.
And then Exhibit 9 then is our comments. Now these are actually were filed with the Public Service Commission, if I understand right, but they're comments from the Department of Health. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And could you just summarize the Department of Health's comments for the project?
Department of Health reviewed the project and indicated that they felt it would have no adverse impacts, provided standard best management practices would be implemented during the course of construction.
And I would offer Exhibit 9.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, Exhibit 9 will be received.
Were there any objections to the project by any federal or state agencies?
No, ma'am.
And then finally, if you'll look at what's been marked as Exhibit 10, is that an updated list of your permits and approvals?
Yes, ma'am.
And does that checklist identify all the permits that are required for the project and the current status of those permits?
Yes, ma'am.
I would offer Exhibit 10.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, Exhibit 10 is received.
And based on your study and review and the exhibits and testimony that you have presented here today, is the proposed facility of such length, design, location, or purpose that it will produce minimal adverse effects?
Yes, ma'am.
Will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facility produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes, ma'am.
Is the proposed facility compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes, ma'am.
And will the proposed facility location minimize adverse human and environmental impact?
Yes, ma'am.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Grumman, do you have any questions?
I do, Your Honor. Thank you. Mr. McCarthy, it's my understanding of review of your application that concerning avoidance areas and the 500-foot occupied residence mandate, it's my understanding there were 93 potential occupied structures within the route. Is that correct?
Right. That number was generated based initially on just an aerial photo interpretation.
Okay.
Subsequent to that analysis, we went to the tax records, parcel IDs, and the number based on parcel IDs, the tax-based information, is that there are 79 parcels within the 500-foot.
Thank you. And as part of Exhibit 5, were a number of waivers correct concerning that regard?
That is correct.
How many, just in summary, how many are left that you're that did not sign waivers of that 79?
Right. We received 40. There are 40 waivers submitted today, so that would leave a balance of approximately 39.
Now, it sounds from your testimony that there are expectations that further waivers will be acquired. Is that correct?
They're waivers or an easement. They're under negotiation, the understanding is that if an easement's granted, that's very similar to a waiver in hand.
Do you have any expectations that not all of the waivers will be acquired?
I would, yes, depending on commission, we could continue to go on door knocking campaign, but we feel that we put forth a best effort, reasonable effort relative to the time constraints and understanding the requirements and would feel like this would be an adequate demonstration of our intent.
Okay, so it's my understanding, just to clarify, that your efforts towards acquiring further waivers, that's been completed at this point. There's no further resources that are going to be expended in that regard?
Correct.
Obviously, you have a number of years of experience. Could you just explain to us why some of those waivers weren't signed or you didn't receive them back? What's your understanding in that regard?
You can understand being a homeowner and receive a certified letter in the mail. You may refuse to respond to it. That's your choice as a citizen. You may, once you've received it, open it up, looked at it, felt a preference not to respond. There were some errors in the parcel ID information that we received. They were returned as undeliverable. And so the cumulative effects of that is that I think there will always be some balance of non-response.
Did any of those occupied residences that received the waiver in the mail, did they try to negotiate with you in any way as far as consideration to sign such a waiver? And if so, if you could summarize that, please, for the record.
I personally was not involved with any landowner negotiations that required any kind of a transaction to secure the waiver. There were four parties that Magellan subsequently followed up with and secured a waiver. I'm not privy to what the negotiations might have been in those instances.
One moment, Your Honor. I have nothing further.
Mr. Morrow.
If you look at Exhibit 5, that neighborhood there towards the southwest of the map, it seems like all the waivers are signed within that nice little area there. However, just to the south, correct.
Yep. This kind of crescent moon.
Yep.
Right. That is a trailer park, and we received a waiver from the landowner proper.
Oh, okay. My only other question would probably be better for the last witness, but these products serve Fargo, Grand Forks, correct?
Yeah, it's my understanding that about 40% of the refined products consumed in North Dakota are transported by these lines.
So do you know perhaps what the alternative would be?
Not to be facetious, but higher gas prices and shortages or maybe a lack of product, refined product in the state.
Okay. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Anything else, Ms. Smith?
Just a couple questions. On the waiver portion, the statute requires waivers when it's focused on rural residences, is that correct?
That's how it's written, yes.
And so it's probably not necessarily contemplating this situation with, 93 or 94 urban residences. In this instance, there is no reasonable alternative to the route that's been proposed. Is that your understanding?
Yes, ma'am, and I think we established that.
Yeah, and so as far as that goes, even if Magellan didn't receive all the waivers, they still are complying with the avoidance area criteria by demonstrating there's no reasonable alternative.
That is correct.
I have no further questions.
Mr. McCarthy, I have a few. The negotiations with landowners to obtain waivers, were they conducted by your company or by Magellan directly?
By both parties. In particular, Magellan secured waivers when there were easements involved. And so they handled a specific number of these waiver requests. E3 Environmental did the majority of them through a mailing campaign.
Now, you talked about one landowner that owned two parcels along the frontage road on Main Avenue there.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
And that landowner is in the process of negotiating an easement. That's your understanding?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have any of the people who didn't sign waivers or easements vocally expressed any opposition to this project, to your knowledge?
I had a conversation with one particular landowner who has not yet signed a waiver, but asked about the project, the process, and in that conversation was actually expressed opposition to the road work more so than our project.
Do you know if that landowner was advised of this hearing today?
Yes, sir. I specifically gave him the details of this.
That actually might be me.
Okay, so there is someone here. Okay.
Yeah, when you asked earlier if there's somebody else, I understood that wrong. I thought you meant anybody else from the two parties that were up there is how I heard it.
Okay, and so are you planning to testify today, sir?
I do have a few questions.
Okay, you can testify. You can't ask questions, but you can testify. You can tell me what your opinion is.
Sure.
What we'll do is we'll take a break in a little while before we close the hearing. Certainly, we'll take a break, and you and I can talk, and we can give you an opportunity to testify here.
Okay.
Is there anybody else here today that has concerns about this project?
I guess I'm with the DOT, and it's just, schedule-wise, I'm curious how long it might take, but...
Okay. All right. I just wanted to get that out so that we know what's out there. Okay.
Your Honor, ignorance or lack of knowing how these procedures go, I wasn't aware that this was formal either, but beside that point, is there a reason I can't ask questions? I mean, what is the reason I can't ask questions? Why can't I ask these guys questions?
Well, I'll tell you what, during the break, you could certainly direct your questions to the attorneys from the Public Service Commission.
Okay.
And see if they want to ask those questions. Would your questions be directed to Mr. McCarthy?
Not so much. It was more for the engineer. I had a few questions with the proposed, with the existing lines and also the new proposed route.
Well, I tell you what we can do is if new issues are raised, we can bring him back up here. Ms. Smith can bring him back up and follow up.
And Your Honor, we're happy to have somebody talk with him during the break, just on the side and see if that
Why don't we, it's probably a good time right now because I need a drink of water anyway, so let's take about a 10-minute break right now and see if we can sort some of this stuff out during the break. Thank you very much.
Thank you.